Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I am Jeff Carey with First Restoration Services, presenting to you Home Renovation Radio Blog. And joined with me today is the Fire Chief of the Skyland Fire Department, Dennis Presley. Thanks for joining us today, Chief Presley.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
No problem. For our listeners today, we're going to be covering a little bit of fire safety with the fire chief. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the fires he recently went through this past winter, what caused those fires, what maybe some prevention tips as we, as people maybe can be prepared for the following winter and or summer fires. So let's kind of just jump right into that, Chief Presley. For all our listeners, what were some of the recent fires that you had to respond to this past winter?
This year was a very interesting year for us here at Skyland Fire Rescue. We've had a little more than usual structure fires in our fire district and a little larger fires than we have normally. Normally ours is just a residential fire, and of which we have here or there, but this year we've had two large events, an apartment complex and a duplex or four condo apartments that we did have some pretty major fire damage on top of one large house and then a couple of smaller houses that we've been to this year, this past winter.
Mm. And so how many total do you think maybe you went to? I don't know if you have the number exactly, but just an idea. You said he had a little more than usual. So how many do you normally average, and how many do you think you responded to this past winter?
Our average is between three and four over the winter, and that's usually a normal residential fire. But this year we've had eight, including the residentials, that we've responded to, and that included those duplexes and condos that we responded to. So it's just about five more than we're used to in a normal winter period.
Mm. Is there any specific reason, or just kind of freak accidents in terms of the increase?
Well, most of them were accidents. We had one intentional fire that was an arson fire. The other few was one was an electrical fire in town of Biltmore Forest. The others were just accidents of people doing something that, had they made a different decision to do, the outcome would have been very different. So, it's sometimes we hate to talk about it, but most of our responses are mistakes that people make in their homes today.
Right. Do you remember any, do you have any maybe examples from some of the fires that you responded to, what exactly caused those and maybe how they could have been prevented?
I do. One of the first major fire we went to was an outdoor grill that the gentleman was cooking, and 2 days before, that's when he was doing the cooking, and then put the charcoals into what he thought was out and coal into a garbage can, and normally does not work in that kind of environment inside of a house. So this garbage can was sitting under the porch of the residence. It ignited the front outside of the house. The second largest call we went to was a residence, which was almost the same scenario, with the exception was coal ashes from a fireplace, except for this trash can that the ashes were put in was still inside the garage to be taken out on 2 days later when the garbage collection folks came by. So this was two ashes. One was charcoal grill ashes and one was ashes from the fireplace, creating the same scenario with some pretty significant damage. There again, we don't think anything was out of the ordinary, other than just a ordinary mistake made by the homeowner.
Mm. Well, that's unfortunate, because it seems like a simple mistake that has some type of catastrophic kind of result to it.
There are very simple mistakes that people just, if they would just take just a few minutes and think the outcome, because we always talk about ashes either from a fireplace or a grill, to never, ever put them in anything that's flammable, no matter how long that you think they've been cold. Because ultimately, and in these two cases, they did cause that problem and pretty significant damage because of that. But never, ever take the ashes from any source and put them anywhere but a metal can and outside to set for a good amount of time so that you can be assured that there's no fire, no one little hot ember that could ignite, because when you pour the embers into a bucket or whatever you pour them into, there's still going to be that hot part at the bottom of it that's going to continue to sit there and smolder and grow. Could be as long as a week. We just don't know. You don't know what that timing could be. But with a metal can away from the house.
Metal can away from the house. Like you said, it just takes that one ember, and you don't even know what is actually happening in the bottom of that canister.
That is correct. And there, you know, if there's not a lid on it, if a garage door is open or closed, you all of a sudden get a burst of air, or whatever means of that ember that gets the air, it's going to cause that problem eventually.
Mm-hmm. Besides the ashes and the charcoal, any other that come to mind from this past winter, or maybe some that just, you know, kind of resonate with you in the past that you responded to?
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of electrical fires. And of course, that's no fault of anybody's. You just don't know what can happen when there's a bad wire inside the house. Or one that I can remember right offhand is the fire was coming from the electrical line, overhead line into the house, and shorted out and originated on the outside of the house. Another one was on the inside of the house where a plug had just shorted out from who knows how long, since maybe the house was built and maybe a nail went through it, and it just took over time to start that process of breaking down. And then once it broke down, It still had that electricity to cause that fire inside the walls. And then again, there's chimney fires. I think we have two chimney fires in this list that I was talking about. That's probably one of our biggest causes of fires. Once the creosote is built up inside the chimney, it's going to cause a problem at some point in time, and that's when we recommend that the chimney be cleaned at least once a year, at least if you're a lot of times when you're burning a lot. If you do a lot, we recommend twice a year. And that's simply calling a chimney sweep or cleaning it out with a brush or whatever you may have to do that. But chimney fires are one of, and left alone, they will eventually get into the attic and then cause that fire and cause extensive damage to the attic.
Right, because that starts straight at potentially. Is that the worst spot for a fire to start in terms of up in the attic, and then it gets in the trusses and in the roof?
It is.
And then that's the worst spot for it to start.
It is, because it starts, your creosote begins to build up at the point where the heat and the cold meet. So that's about the attic spot. And if the fire has gotten hot enough over the years, it could possibly crack the liner, and the liner's going to be cracked right there at the cold and heat spot where the cold comes down and meets the heat spot, because, and normally in most chimneys, that's where the fire starts, is at the meat spot of the temperature. And then that's the attic most of the time. That's where the fire's going to go into the attic, and that's most of the time that's where the flue is cracked. And then you have a lot of older homes that were made a long time ago just out of just block and mortar and some of the old terracotta pipe. That's we see those a lot. And you know, that used to be the way to heat houses many years ago. And now we're going to the new type of triple wall pipe that are inside the houses, which is the most safest, and the chimney's relined. But again, chimney fires and cooking fires, that's what I want to mention as well. We had one other cooking fire that was, again, accidental, and that caused pretty extensive damage in and around the kitchen. And that was we were able to knock that fire down pretty much and pretty quick. But as we did, the heat, smoke, and water damage done pretty much extensive damage throughout the rest of the residence.
And cooking fires are the number one leading source of structure fires. Is that right?
That is correct. That is correct. Whether it be that some folks left some stuff on the stove and forgot about it, or where they were cooking with grease and grease spills out and burns some victims, or whatever it may be. But cooking fires is our number one response, when especially at a residence.
Is there any tips or preventative measures when it comes to cooking, at the very least, that homeowners can take to prevent themselves from those types of fires?
Well, you know, it goes back to the very common sense of be sure that you don't have your kids around, because mm-hmm. it's always dangerous for a small child to come in and tip over a pan of grease that is cooking in the house. But again, our number one problem is that when we go to these fires, is people will walk outside and forget that they have a pan that's sitting on the stove that had been full of grease, and once the grease is hot and completes the cycle, there's no more grease, and then that ignites the fire because of the pan sitting on the stove or whatever it may be. So just pay attention. Never leave the kitchen left unattended while cooking's going on. Of course, watch the kids when they're around too, and don't have them near the hot stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you had kind of mentioned grease fires, and I know unintended cooking services is what caused a lot of these cooking fires. Is there a specific way, so if someone walked outside and then they came back in, and then, of course, they saw, they realized what you had just kind of mentioned with the grease fire happening, is there a specific way to put that out so that way you don't make it worse?
Well, the first thing that anybody thinks when you want to put out a fire is to use water. On a grease fire, that probably is you want them to try to get the fire out, but putting water on a grease fire does one thing. That spreads the fire. That will spread the fire on the stove and on the counters and the floor, and then make the fire bigger because you're spreading the liquid. You want to have a ABC fire extinguisher handy in the kitchen area, or some flour, or whatever it may be, to cover that fire up, not to spread it with water, because water will spray it out and just make it three times as worse. So that is a good point.
Mm-hmm. I just want to go quickly back to the electrical fires that you had mentioned earlier about the wires in the house malfunctioning, or whatever the case may be. Is there any way that a homeowner can take any type of measures of checking to see if there's any shortages or faults or anything of their home, anything out there, or some type of professional they can bring into the home to check those items?
There is, and we recommend that each time we go to a structure, whether we might even suggest that there might be an electrical problem, we will always recommend, and sometimes we will make it mandatory that before we can cut the power back on, and we have that ability to cut the power to the entire house. But we always recommend or have them call an electrician while we're waiting on the spot. Now, we know that sometimes that can't be done, and sometimes that's okay. We'll kill the main breaker. We don't like to pull the meter because that starts a process of several days of getting that repaired. And especially during wintertime, we don't like to leave the homeowners without electricity if we can help it, because of heat. And you don't want to have a cold house, especially if you got kids in there. But we do recommend that a certified electrician do come and check the box and go through the whole house. And just do a good certified check of what's going on with the system, and that can be can be done with the technology today.
Great, great info. And I really do appreciate this time, Chief, here. I kind of want to I'll wrap up with this last question, and then you can kind of leave anything with us and our listeners here. When the fire department responds to a call, kind of what is your role? What's your responsibilities? And so that way, if any, you know, if we're a homeowner and we have the fire department calling, what can we expect?
One of our first major priorities is life safety. And we roll up on the scene, we're making sure that there's nobody injured inside the residence, or we're making sure that this all people who should be there are accounted for. And then we will begin to do the extinguishment of the fire. And then once that is done, our job is not over. We're making sure that the residences have a place to go if there's extensive damage. We're making sure that everybody's okay. We're making sure that medicine that was in the house is found. We're making sure that a little bit of cleanup can be done if we can clean that up. And then we will hand over, which is provided by First Restoration, a little booklet after the fire, which you guys have done a great job for us, and we've had a lot of good comments about that. But we do not stop there. Once we leave, we check back. We have a public relations specialist who goes back and checks on these folks from day to day, making sure that their insurance company has been notified, answer any questions, take them our fire report for their insurance company, and just making sure that these community members are taken care of to the best of our ability.
Well, that's some great info, and thanks for the kind words there as well for First Restoration. I think something that not a lot of homeowners would have realized is that the fire department actually has a fire relations specialist that actually follows up with the homeowner and helps them out with any assistance that they may need between either fire reports, insurance, or anything else. I mean, that's some really great extension of your services that you do after the fire.
Well, one of the things that I've seen so many times over my 36 years in the fire services is that question, what do we do now? What happens now? And, you know, I wanted to provide that for the folks out there. And we do have that. And I can tell you we've gotten good feedback from our community members. And we expand that a little more. We're going out to a lot of other issues in the community. And that relations specialist, he does real good. And the community likes him. And we get great feedback. And on top of the major goals, we're helping our folks get back on their feet.
Great. Well, that's some great info. Anything you want to leave us today with, Chief Presley? We really do appreciate the time.
Anything I missed? I think we covered a lot of ground here in about 15, 18 minutes, but I just want to say that you guys have been a very good help to us in getting a lot of things off the ground. We know that when we go to a structure fire, we've got somebody coming to help us out to continue helping that community member and doing what needs to be done to take care of them, and then that way we can get back in service, and we know that there's a good company out there that's finishing up our goal.
Well, thank you again. Definitely a very appreciated and unexpected the kind words, Chief. Thanks again for the time. I know that everyone has definitely appreciated you taking the time out of your busy day to talk to us and definitely educate us on fire safety and the things that we can do. We appreciate the time again, and hopefully we'll be able to have you on again on a different time, Chief.
You're very welcome, and I look forward to it.
Okay. You have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
All right, everyone, that was Chief Presley joining Home Renovation for Fire Safety today. I'm going to wrap up real quickly here with some to-dos and not-to-dos after a fire. We have a brochure on our website that you can download if you go to FRS247.com. www.ecoregion.com and then go to our resources page. Just again, some more information for the residential homeowners out there looking to be proactive in terms of home fires. We have 8 things here. I'm going to list off on what to do after a fire and 8 things not to do after a fire. First thing you want to do is you want to secure the property and retain a contractor to come out and board up your windows, roofs, and other penetrations in order to prevent any additional damages to your home. Secondly, if you need any type of emergency housing, food, clothing, basic furniture, counseling for your children, you may contact the Red Cross, Salvation Army, or your church. You then want to proceed to call your insurance agent, and if weather permits, you want to open up any windows for ventilation. If the electricity is out, you want to empty your refrigerators and freezers. You want to call a plumber to drain and blow out all water lines. And if the heat is off in the winter, it's also known as winterizing your home. You want to retain any receipts for any money you spend. These receipts may be necessary for possible insurance reimbursements. And nothing should be thrown away until all the items are listed on an inventory damaged belongings list for your insurance company for reimbursement. Those are the things that you want to do after fire. And 8 things that you want to not do after fire is you do not want to enter the structure without the proper PPE, personal protective equipment. You also do not want to enter the structure until the fire official in charge has made it okay for you to enter, that the structure is safe. You also do not want to wipe or attempt to wash any fire residues from the walls, ceilings, or contents, or any other absorbent surfaces without any professional assistance. Don't use carpeting or upholstered furniture impacted by the heavy smoke residue or debris. You're just going to impact that in to the upholstered furniture even more. Don't use any food items or canned goods exposed to heat. Do not turn on your computers, televisions, stereos, or electrical appliances until they have been cleaned and checked by a professional. They may be wet, sitting wet, and they still might be able to be salvaged after they've been dried and cleaned out, as opposed to then being turned on when they're still wet. You also don't want to touch anything. Oil from your hands can permeate the upholstery, walls, and woodwork, causing any additional damage. And do not turn any electrical fixtures, switches, or outlets on, of course. Again, I hope everyone has learned a lot from this segment. We appreciate the Skyland Fire Department Chief Dennis Presley for joining us today. I'm Jeff Carrier, presenting with First Restoration Services Home Renovation Radio Blog. If anyone has any projects at home or any other tips they'd like us to cover, please email us at homerenovation@frs247.com.